The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today is April Fool, Phyllis. Phyllis knew everything about the weather. After all, she was Punxsutawney Phyllis, weather prophet extraordinaire. So, when she woke up on April 1st, the day of the spring treasure hunt, it took only one whiff of morning air to tell her that something wasn't right. "We have to cancel the treasure hunt," she announced at breakfast. "There's a blizzard coming." Everyone was stunned. "A blizzard," said Uncle Phil, "in April?" Then Phil Jr. started to laugh. "You actually had me fooled for a second," he said. "Yeah, Phyllis," snickered Pete, "not a bad joke." "This isn't an April Fool's joke," insisted Phyllis, but no one paid any attention. Aunt Patsy flooded her pancakes with homemade maple syrup and passed the jug to old Grandfather Groundhog. "What a great year for syrup," he said. "I can't remember a year when the sap has run this long." "Well, that's because winter isn't over," said Phyllis. "I'm telling you, we're going to have a blizzard. Today." "Give up, Phyllis," said Pete. "If folks don't listen," Phyllis said, "they'll be in danger when the blizzard comes." A bit later, Phil Jr. came in from outside. "Phyllis is right," he said. "It's freezing." And he held out his paws to Aunt Patsy. "They're like icicles," she exclaimed. "We can't have a treasure hunt if it's this cold." "I told you," began Phyllis. "April Fool," shouted Phil Jr. "I used a bag of ice to make my paws cold." "Very funny," said Phyllis. But everyone else laughed. A few minutes later, Pete yelled down from the mouth of the burrow, "Phyllis really was right. It's snowing." Everyone rushed up the tunnel. Sure enough, a curtain of fat, white flakes drifted across the opening. "Oh, my," exclaimed Aunt Sassy. "April Fool," shouted Pete. "It's only confetti." "Make all the jokes you like," said Phyllis. "Just cancel the treasure hunt so no one gets lost in the snow." But nobody listened. All the grown-ups sat in the sun outside the burrow to swap tall tales and sent the youngsters off on the treasure hunt. Said Phyllis, reading the first clue. "What goes up in the morning and down at night?" "The sun," guessed Cousin Jill. "We can't go to the sun for the next clue," said Phil Jr. "Uncle Phil's trousers," suggested Pete. All the little groundhogs giggled. They raced over to Uncle Phil and felt in his pockets. But there was nothing there. "There must be something else," said Jill. "Well, how about the thermometer?" suggested Phyllis. They hurried to the thermometer by the door of the sugar house. Inside, the big kettle still filled the air with sweet maple steam, even though it was April. "Ooh, it's nice and warm in here," said Cousin Willis. No one noticed that the thermometer had dropped below 30 degrees. All they saw was a second clue tucked behind the thermometer. "What does this one say?" demanded Phil Jr. Phyllis read, "What runs but has no legs?" "A clock," said Pete. But the third clue was nowhere near the grandfather clock. "An engine," said Phil Jr. But no one knew of any engines in Punxsutawney Hollow. "I know," shouted Willis, "the stream." They all rushed down to the stream. There was clue number three. The three young groundhogs followed the clues farther and farther to the treehouse, to the blackberry patch, and to the shore of Punxsutawney Pond. This must be the last one, Phyllis said. She brushed snowflakes out of her eyes to read the clue. What's sticky and sweet and found in a tree? That's easy, said Jill. They all dashed for the honey tree. There it is, shouted Willis, jumping up and down. What do you think it will be? Phil Jr. asked as he lifted the lid. It was another note. Treasure hunt. April Fool, you win but lose. Look again at all your clues. They can all be solved, you see, with one answer, and it's me. I don't get it, said Pete. Phyllis explained. It means that there's one thing that's the answer to all the clues. But right now we have a bigger problem. Look at the snow. It was a problem indeed, falling thick and fast, making it impossible to see more than a few feet in any direction. How will we find our way home? Worried Willis. Phyllis looked at the little groundhogs. They were depending on her to get them home safely. How was she going to do it? All Phyllis could see was swirling white and something flapping in the wind against a nearby sugar maple. The sap line. That's it, she cried. Everyone, stay with me. The sap line is the thing that comes out of the tree, and they could follow that all the way home. The groundhogs clung to the sap line. Phyllis led the way from the maple tree to the maple tree and another maple tree and all the way back to the sugar house. Thank goodness you're back, cried Aunt Patsy. We should have known you were right about the blizzard, said Uncle Phil. Looks like we're the April Fools. All's well that ends well, said Aunt Sassy. But we've never solved the treasure hunt, said Phil Jr. Yes, we did, Phyllis said triumphantly. What goes up in the morning and down at night? What runs but has no legs? What's sticky and sweet and found in a tree? Sap. Maple sap. The treasure is right here. Sure enough, in the back corner of the sugar house, where they boiled big kettles of sap so that it would turn into maple syrup and get thick, right in the back corner of the sugar house was another treasure chest. Phyllis lifted the lid eagerly. It's empty, she cried. What? All the groundhogs crowded in to look. April Fool, shouted Phyllis, and she tossed handfuls of maple candy in the air for everyone to share. The next book we're going to read is called The Thing About Spring by Daniel Kirk. The world looks a little different today, Mouse said one morning. It smells different too, said Bird. There are buds on the trees and new colors in the sky, and I feel warm and happy. Me too, said Mouse. Spring is finally here. Hooray! Mouse and Bird hurried to share the good news with their friends. Rabbit was in the meadow, busy with a shovel and pail. What are you doing, Rabbit? Mouse called. Saving snow while I still can, Rabbit grumbled. We won't see any more of this stuff until next year. But spring is coming, Bird chirped. Aren't you excited? Excited, said Rabbit. Ha! The thing about spring is that I won't be able to follow my friends' tracks in the snow, and then I won't be able to find them. But now you won't be cold, said Bird, and you won't have to look for me. I'll be right beside you. Me too, said the mouse. The thing about spring, said Rabbit, is that I won't be able to make snow bunnies anymore. I won't be able to make snow forts either. You know how much fun I have doing that. And I won't be able to make snowballs to throw at my favorite targets. But little shoots will grow out of the ground, Mouse said, so you won't have to look far to find delicious things to eat. The thing about spring, said Rabbit, is that Bear is waking up. You know how bad he smells at the end of a long winter, and I'm sure he's going to want a hug. Oh, Rabbit, said Bear with a yawn, just because I'm a little stinky doesn't mean we can't share a big hug. I want a hug, said Bird. I want a hug, too. Me three, said the Mouse. The thing about spring, said Rabbit, is that it rains when you're not expecting it. But the rain brings out all the flowers, said Mouse. And the worms, said Bird. And it makes you clean, said Bear, and ready for more hugs. The thing about spring, said Grumpy Rabbit, is that when the days get longer, the nights get shorter, and I am a cranky bunny when I don't get enough sleep. But in the spring we need more daytime, because there are so many things to do, said Bird. In spring, I love to make loop-de-loops and race the clouds through the sky, said Bird. In the spring, I love to nibble tasty buds and dig tunnels in the soft pine needles, said Mouse. In the spring, I love to splash in the lake and dance in the sun, said Bear. Spring is wonderful. The thing about spring, said Rabbit, is that all the animals chatter on, and the racket hurts my ears. I'll try to be more quiet, whispered Bird. Me too, whispered Mouse. Me three, whispered Bear. But it's hard not to make a little noise. When spring is here, shouted the Bear. All right, Rabbit sighed. I suppose no one can stop the seasons from changing. But the thing about spring is that when I stomp around so much and the sun is so warm, it makes me really, really thirsty. Me too, said Bear. I think we're all a little thirsty. Well then, said Rabbit, you should be glad I saved some snow. Look inside my pail. The thing about spring is that it's full of surprises. And here Rabbit is finally starting to smile a little bit. It's wonderful, Bird cheeped. Now that the spring is here, the snow has turned to water. It's like the winter gave us a present before it went away, said Mouse. And they're all looking inside the pail. And they're looking at their reflections. They can see themselves in that melted snow. I found some cups, Rabbit said. Dip in. It will be our first taste of spring. Rabbit had found some tops of acorns, and they were going to use these as cups to get the last taste of winter from his bucket, from the melting snow. And our first sip of spring, said Bird. Here's to spring, said Bear. I think it's going to be great. Me too, said Bird. Me three, said the Mouse. And the friends all looked at Rabbit. Oh, all right, he said. Me four. Spring is here. Hooray! And all the animals danced around and played in the sun on the bright green grass. The next book is Maxie the Little Taxi by Elizabeth Upton. Maxie the Taxi was a dazzling sight. Everything about him was flashy and bright. He was a little round yellow taxi with a bright smile. He was little and yellow and shiny and new. On his first day of work, there was so much to do. His friend, Mr. Buddy, sent Max on his way. "Drive safely," said Buddy, "and have a great day." And here Mr. Buddy is washing him and polishing him, making him ready for his first ever day as a taxi. Max zipped here. He zipped there. He zipped everywhere, from the park to the river and back to the square. He zoomed up. He zoomed down. He zoomed all around town, splashing in every big puddle he found. Small sticky fingers at stop after stop let ice cream and mustard go plippity-plop. What a mess on his seats! And outside the gates of an elegant park, a friendly pigeon left her mark. And what do you think that pigeon left on the window of little Maxi Taxi? You can guess. Then up came a taxi gal, sparkling and neat, who whispered to Max as they rolled down the street, "You better wash up, Mr. Gooey Goo, or no one will want to ride with you." And off she drove. She was very pretty and bright and shiny and clean. When a fashionable lady waved for a ride, Max zoomed over but splashed her right side. And there's mud going all over that fancy lady's pretty red skirt. "My skirt," screamed the lady, "and look at you. You're filthy and gooey and grimy, too." Soon all the people who needed a taxi took one quick look and walked right past Maxi. Max was so sad, down streamed his tears, and his swishing wipers turned dirt into smears. Then a boy with his mother, who waved and jumped and hopped, were happy when Maxi zoomed over and stopped. "Yuck," said the boy. "I hope it's okay if we stop at that car wash across the way." And so they came to the car wash. At the mouth of the car wash, Max screeched to a stop, afraid he'd be eaten like a yellow gumdrop. It was a big car wash, and Maxi the taxi was very little and very scared. Clink, clank, Maxi's tires rolled onto the track. But it was too late for Max to turn back. Rum-mum-mum went the brushes. Pish, pish went the spray, washing the grit and dirt away. Flip-flop went the scrubbers. Blip-flop went the suds. And they tickled his muffler and bumper and hubs. "Beep, beep, beep, beep," laughed Max. "Beep, beep, 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 beep." And out of the car wash he rolled to the street. Oh, he looks so pretty now, all bright and clean and shiny. Outside, the street lights shone down on Max. And magically, Max felt himself shining back. He opened his windows, ready for flight, and away they all went through the sparkling night. "Welcome home," said Mr. Buddy. "You're right on time, with no bumps or scratches. Just look at you shine." "How is your day, Max? Where have you been?" "Here's an extra polish while I tuck you in." Max told the whole story of his kind new friend and the big bath that splashed him front, middle, and end. And then, very tired, Max sighed, beep, beep, and driftily, dreamily, he fell fast asleep. This book is Bunny Cakes by Rosemary Wells. And it's about little Bunny, Max, and his sister, Ruby. It was Grandma's birthday. Max made her an earthworm birthday cake. "No, Max," said Max's sister, Ruby. "We are going to make Grandma an angel surprise cake with raspberry fluff icing." Max wanted to help. "Don't touch anything, Max," said Ruby. But it was too late. And there on the floor are all the eggs, broken. Max had accidentally knocked them off the counter. So Ruby sent Max to the store with a list that said eggs. But Max wanted red-hot marshmallow squirters for his earthworm cake. So he wrote red-hot marshmallow squirters on the list. Unfortunately, he was too little to be able to write yet, so it looked like a scribble. The grocer could not read Max's writing, but he saw eggs, said the grocer, and he gave Max the eggs to take home. Max brought the eggs home to Ruby. "Don't bump the table, Max," said Ruby. But it was too late. Ruby sent Max back to the store with a list that said milk. This time, Max wrote red-hot marshmallow squirters in a different way. Max hoped and hoped for his squirters, but the grocer still couldn't read Max's writing. "Milk," said the grocer, and he gave Max some milk. Max brought the milk home to Ruby. "There's a yellow floor line on the floor," Max said, Ruby. "You cannot step over that line." But Max crossed that line anyway. Over went the flour. So poor Ruby had to get out her pencil again. She wrote flour on the list. This time, Max wrote red-hot marshmallow squirters in the most beautiful writing he knew. But still, nobody could read it because he could not write for real. Max could almost taste the marshmallow squirters. "Flour," said the grocer, and he gave Max flour. When Max got home, there was a sign on the kitchen door. "Max, the kitchen is no place for you," said Ruby. Ruby finished up her cake. She baked it and cooled it and iced it with raspberry fluff frosting. "It needs something else, Max," said Ruby. "Birthday candles, silver stars, sugar hearts, and buttercream roses," wrote Ruby. Meanwhile, Max had a brand new idea. He drew a picture of red-hot marshmallow squirters on Ruby's list and ran to the grocer. He could not wait. The list said birthday candles, silver stars, sugar hearts, and buttercream roses. And then Max drew two little red things with squirts coming out of them. "Birthday candles, silver stars, sugar hearts, buttercream roses," said the grocer. "And what's this?" "Why, it must be red-hot marshmallow squirters." Ruby's cake looked just beautiful with the roses and the silver stars and the candy hearts on it. And Max went out and put caterpillar icing on his earthworm cake and decorated it with red-hot marshmallow squirters. Grandma was so thrilled. She didn't know which cake to eat first. What cake would you have eaten first? The caterpillar cake or the angel buttercream cake by Ruby? This book is called Rhyming Dust Bunnies by Jan Thomas. A dust bunny is that little ball of fluff that's really dust that you see under the bed or along the wall or anywhere under your under your couch or your easy chair or all over the place sometimes if you haven't vacuumed up very recently. Anyways, hello, we are Ed, Ned, and Ted, and Bob. Those are the four dust bunnies. One's green, purple, red, and blue. Bob is the blue one. The purple one said, we rhyme, and the red one said, all the time. So these are the rhyming dust bunnies. Hey, what rhymes with car? Far, jar, tar. Look, said Bob. No, Bob, look does not rhyme with car. What rhymes with bug? Hug, rug, mug. Look out, said Bob. No, Bob, look out does not rhyme with bug. What rhymes with dog? Hog, log, fog. Look out, here comes a big scary monster with a broom, yelled Bob. Bob, no. Look out, here comes a big scary monster with a broom. Does not rhyme with anything, really. Okay then, said Bob. But run for it! And there, someone has a broom and is coming to sweep them up. Yikes! Say the dust bunnies and start to run. Good call, Bob, they say. They've all gathered under the chest of drawers and are hiding back there. At least they think they're hiding. Okay, so where were we? What rhymes with cat? Sat? Pat? Rat? Vacuum cleaner, yelled Bob. And there, the four dust bunnies are sucked up inside that vacuum cleaner. There they go, one by one. The purple one, the green one, the red one, and poor old Bob. Bob, what rhymes with how do we get out? And those poor little dust bunnies were inside the vacuum cleaner. And they said, help! And that's the end of that book. We have just another minute or so. So I'm going to read you a nursery rhyme, a poem specially for kids. There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread, and she kissed them all soundly and put them to bed. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is for people who are blind and print impaired. And so long till next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.